We're doing the Doshot Aran. We're off to page Kuf Mim Beis in the Shalem edition Shin Chaf Chet in the Nosanda of Kuk edition. Here I want to explain one question, says the Ran, Vehi. And this is the final thought basically in this speech. One of the unique things that Moshe Rabbeinu had with his prophecy was that he could have prophecy at any minute. Kumro, as the verse says, the people of Israel turned to him and asked him, and he says, "Im du veshma ma'itzaveh Hashem lachem." Stand around just a second, let me see what God has to say about this. So Moshe could say that. No other prophet had that. Hey, give me a second, let me ask God. Now this difference between Moshe and any other prophet is the reason why Moshe had to separate from a woman. We don't find any other prophet needed that. Being that this was a marked difference between Moshe and any other prophet, so God had to explain to Aaron and Miriam what was different about Moshe. They said, hey, we're also prophets and we're still married. So God had to explain that to them when he's rebuking them. Because this is where Moshe's prophecy is unique. And this explains what they were actually discussing. They're asking, why did he separate from a woman? And Hashem's going to answer. V'shar ha'sgulot v'ma'alot shamar ba'pasuk hazeh k'omro pe'el pe'a daber bo umarev lov chidot u'tmunat Hashem yabit. And although the verse lists other extraordinary things about Moshe's prophecy, God speaks to him face to face, directly and without riddles, and he sees the exact figure. Technically, they are points in which Moshe's prophecy was unique, but that's not really the reason, that's not really the answer to their discussion. So, why doesn't God just come out and tell Aaron and Miriam, yes, Moshe had to leave his wife because I talked to him at any given moment? That doesn't seem to be there in the answer. So that's the Ran's question. Yes?
I have the same question as the Ran.
Oh, so we're about to see his answer.
One explanation. If you can, that would mean, first off, when I was face to face, other prophets in like a dream and a trance, and he got it fully conscious. But then maybe Abraham had that too, maybe. You know, so I don't know if he was going. But the other thing is that mean that Moshe didn't have that before he went up? In other words, he attained a higher level of prophecy because he was with his wife before.
He was with his wife till he came to Mitzrayim. So he had his wife was back in Midian. So he had his first vision of prophecy, right? He had his first vision of prophecy. God told him to go back to Egypt. He comes back to Jethro, his father-in-law. He's prohibited from his wife because she's a Nida. She just had a child, right? So, from his first vision of prophecy, he's never going to be again with his wife. From the burning bush. I'm saying at the burning bush, his wife had just given birth, it seems, to his son. Yeah. I don't know. I don't have proof of it, but I'm saying the... from the verses, you definitely see he saw God in the burning bush, and the next time we encounter Moshe, he's en route with a newborn child who should have been circumcised. That certainly seems to indicate that they were prohibited then. And the Medrash says they kept the laws of family purity in Egypt as best as they could. It says that's why the Nile turned to blood, because the Egyptians withheld the mikveh, they withheld the women from bathing. So that's why God made the mikveh, the Nile turn to blood. Okay, back to our Ran.
Please ask the question again, the Ran's question.
The Ran's question is, isn't the prime difference that's relevant here, the idea that Moshe could have prophecy at any minute, where do we find that? Meaning God tells them other aspects of Moshe's greatness. But the prime point that was relevant to their question was, yes, Moshe could have prophecy at any given moment. Vatshuva, so the answer says the Ran, Shotas Gula Batzma Shamarnu, that unique characteristic that Moshe could have prophecy, Veisha Moshe Ya Muchan Linvoa B'cholet, that Moshe could have prophecy at any moment, Kvar Hodiyam Hashem Itbarach, Hashem did tell them that. Bapasuk Zeh Biyoter Shlemut Shefshar Sheyeh Bidiyat Eze Davar. In this Pasuk, Hashem actually informs them of that in the best possible way. There are two ways you can understand an answer that someone gives you. One way of understanding something is to know it, to know its essence. You don't know its cause, you just see it. And sometimes you know it's there, but you also know why it's there. There are two levels of knowing. You know, one thing you know, we have class at 9 o'clock in the morning. You don't know why. Then you know that some people get up at 7, at 7:30, at 8, at 8:30. So we make class at 9 so that even if people get up late and they end up davening later, they can make it and the class ends at 10:30. You don't know why. But the reason is because often people go away for Shabbos and we need to end at a finite time where people know they can still make their Shabbos plans and they can have their learning Friday morning. Okay, so you could know the thing and then you can know the reasoning behind the thing. You could know the thing without knowing the reasoning. All these years, people have been coming to this class. They don't know the logic behind it. Okay, now you know. And undoubtedly, when you understand the reasoning, then you understand it much better than if you only know the thing itself without the reason. And that's why. Had God only told them that Moshe, he has to have prophecy at any given moment, and other prophets are not that way, then they'd know, okay, they know the answer, but they won't know the reasoning behind it. But now God actually gave them the answer. God was explaining to them that level of prophecy that Moshe had. All these descriptions of Moshe's prophecy, Tmunat Hashem Yabit, when Hashem describes Moshe's level of prophecy, he's describing to them the reasoning behind why Moshe could have prophecy at any given moment. Because he attained that high a level, that was the reasoning behind why on that level you could have prophecy at any given moment. So God did tell them it could happen at any given moment. Like the Ran explained earlier, God says, can I just talk to you for a minute? What's God asking Aaron and Miriam? He's saying, I know you're not ready for it. I know you've both been with your spouses and you're not pure. And you're both going to break out with leprosy when I talk to you now. Is it okay if we talk? I know it's going to be painful to both of you. And then Aaron and Miriam don't see a way out. And then the whole conversation is a very painful one for Aaron and Miriam. And God says, okay, now you understand? Moshe has a conversation with me on a higher level at any moment. And Aaron and Miriam are both standing there in utter pain because they can't handle it. They're not on that level of purity at that moment. They were both with their spouses the night before. So God says, hey, any other prophet has a lower level of prophecy. Moshe's level is etc. And that level is the explanation of why he can also have prophecy at any given moment. And that's the explanation of why he had to leave his wife. We discussed it. We discussed it a few weeks ago. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. When you're not here, we skip Yeshaya. We don't skip the Ran. You got to catch up. Sorry. Yes?
Question, just for clarification. The reason that Moshe was, I guess, obligated to separate with his wife or not be with her is because he had to be pure enough at all times in order to receive prophecy at any given moment?
Correct, but he's still going to explain. He's not done yet.
Explanation.
Yes.
Okay. And then another thing that I guess I was mistaken about is I thought that, you know, if Aaron and Miriam were each with their spouse the night before, wouldn't only Miriam be impure? Like Aaron's...
No. When a man has, when a man emits seed, he also becomes impure.
Yeah, but if he emits seed in the right place, he's okay, no?
No, it doesn't matter where.
So then why don't men have to go to the mikvah?
Because on Thursday night you'll have to bring that up. Back to our Ron. Yes, Yaakov.
Everyone wants to come Thursday night now.
Ezra, what's that?
That they were given...
Tara, they did those, how you say it, it's not that much, it's the spiritual disease.
Of the white.
Metzora, Metzora, Keri, Zav. I don't know what you mean to say.
Sarat?
Sarat.
Yeah, Sarat. So that they were given that because of the prophecy that they weren't spiritually pure enough for.
No.
Okay,
no. Chazal understood Sarat to be a physical breakout of a spiritual ailment. So when there is spiritual discord within a person, that can express itself in Sarat. It's almost like an automatic. So it wasn't a punishment that God makes it, bam, they should have Sarat. It was that there was suddenly this internal conflict, an internal contradiction that they're getting prophecy, they're not fit for it, and the resultant, almost by autopilot, was that they had Sarat. And we find that in other places in Tanakh as well. Because they were defiled. Because they had both been with their spouses the night before.
So, should we find that in other instances?
We do.
Like, I don't know, there are a couple that come to mind. Like, there was the one...
Tell you what, let's talk about it after.